After the election this weekend, a report from Athens on the future of Greek debt and possibly the future of Europe. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. A leftist coalition is taking power in Greece now that the results are in from the election. The new government promises to ease what has become years of grinding austerity and to cut payments on Greece's debt. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is in Athens. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, David.
So I'm seeing they've formed a government.
Yes, a very odd sort of rather shaky coalition between this far-left party, Syriza, which has got the overwhelming majority of seats, and a right-wing party. What binds these two together is they are both vehemently against austerity.
Now, Stephen, what happens next? Is the new government going to stop paying its debts tonight at midnight?
No. I mean, Syriza has spoken of writing off half of its national debt, $280 billion of which has been lent by Greece's European partners and the IMF. So, you know, some kind of clash is looming, but the current bailout deal lasts until February. The Greek government is reckoned to be likely to run out of cash in the summer if the EU and the IMF do not lend Greece any more money because it's not sticking to the terms of the bailout agreement, then Greece could default and could crash out of the eurozone with the whole euro possibly beginning to unravel.
Indeed, there is no precedent for that, for a country leaving the eurozone. But how likely do you think this is to happen?
It is a risk, and that's no doubt why the euro fell to an 11-year low at one point in financial markets. The big question is, will the EU cut Greece some slack? Will the EU let Greece off a big chunk of the money they've lent? John Lewis, an economic and political consultant here, says no.
There's no way. I mean, it has to pass through various parliaments. I mean, it's owed to the countries. It's not owed to private individuals where you can have a haircut. So it will not happen.
However, he thinks the two sides could do a deal. There could be some kind of compromise. Debt repayments might be extended, interest rates lowered, austerity softened. The rest of the eurozone doesn't want Grexit, and the Greeks certainly don't want it either. But Grexit and a euro breakup are a possibility, and they're a little bit more likely after last night's election victory for Syriza.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in Athens. Stephen, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Let's check markets. The key index on Athens stock market is down 1.75% now, bouncing off that 11-year low. The euro is now up 0.3% to $1.1228. The 100-share index in London is down 0.4%. DAX in Germany up 0.7%. For the U.S., Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down, with quarterly profit updates on the way this week from a pair of hefty technology companies, Apple and Google. You may be the exception, but odds are this last weekend you did not go to opera, dance, live theater, or the museum. The National Endowment for the Arts says attendance continues to fall. Just 33% of adults report attending at least one of those venues in a year, and those who show up are getting older. Through a series of reports, the NEA wants to give arts organizations new insights into what patrons, dare we call them consumers, want. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports on how institutions are realizing if they want to keep the lights on, it may be time to change the business model.
For a symphony, business used to be play gorgeous, amazing music, and your audience will come. That strategy doesn't play anymore, says Brent Reedy with AEA Consulting.
The reality is that decades ago and centuries ago, art was something that was closer to more people. And we need to get back to a place where society understands our value and really embraces us.
With nearly a third of organizations in the red, according to a 2013 survey, some art institutions are taking a closer look at their customers. As many as 31 million Americans say several factors, including time, kept them away from the opera or museum. So institutions are getting out of the galleries and concert halls and making art more convenient. At a subway stop in Chicago, the Chicago Opera Theater held a pop-up performance a few years back. In Detroit, weatherproof reproductions of masterworks were placed in neighborhoods.
Keep moving in, flutes. Step forward.
Another way to grow audience is bring new people in. the Philadelphia Orchestra hosts play-in events, really jam sessions, often at one of the city's premier venues. The talented and the beginners, all here to play with the orchestra's world-class musicians. The idea is to win hearts and minds of people like Makita Wubaye, a 12-year-old who's new to the scene.
Before today, I didn't really think about coming here, but like once I played on the stage, it was like something about it that felt special.
As important as the experience was for Wubaye, it won't pay the bills. For these landmark institutions, professional musician Stanford Thompson says artists must redefine their roles.
Musicians are citizens and they're scholars. These are community leaders.
What will drive traffic to these groups? Thompson says when actors, singers, and musicians step off the stage and go into struggling schools, mentor students, and teach them to find value in art. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And there are some candy aficionados who will argue late into the night that chocolates made in England are better than the ones made on license for U.S. consumers. Some candy shops have been importing the English ones, but perhaps no more. Hershey's is suing LBB Imports, saying that some of the U.K. candy it's bringing into the U.S. is too close to Hershey's. The upshot, some candy boutiques may no longer have British Toffee Crisp or the British Yorkies and more. Cadbury's cream eggs sold in the U.S. are made by Hershey's, but the recipe's different. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.